does it take to start your own business? I know it's hard to do. What if you were only 25 when you started? Today's guest has had great success building up his digital marketing agency for the past 25 years. He now leads one of the top digital marketing firms in the state. From a shift in mindset when networking to horror hiring stories, our conversation today takes you through the roller coaster of entrepreneurship with some great pieces of advice along the way. Let's get started. Welcome to Business Isn't Hard. Today, we have an incredible guest, Eric Olson. Eric is the CEO and founder of Fast Turtle, a leading digital marketing firm, and Referred, an innovative recruitment platform revolutionizing employee referrals. With over 24 years in digital marketing, he's helped thousands of businesses generate leads and grow their brands. Beyond his companies, Eric is a contributor to the Phoenix Business Journal, a public speaker, and an advocate for entrepreneurship and small business success. His expertise spans SEO, digital strategy, and brand development, making him a go-to expert in the field. Welcome to the show, Eric. How are you?
I'm doing well, Albert. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'd love to kind of get into your journey. How'd you get here today?
So I started Fast Turtle when I was 25. So, 25 years ago, kind of tells you how old I am, but, when I started Fast Turtle, back in 2000, the internet was just really starting to expand, and, graduated, marketing degree from, the beautiful, Arizona State University, proud Sun Devil. So, really always loved marketing. I grew up in the era of, the Jordan brand and Just Do It. And, I was always enthralled, especially in high school, of like, all right, what's the psychology of marketing? So really, once I graduated, went to work for America Online, was doing some affiliate marketing with them, and then worked for a couple .coms before starting Fast Turtle, and really just saw that that's where the world's going. Internet, digital marketing, websites. It was the coolest thing out there. So after doing the corporate thing and then doing, the .com thing where it was a bubble, man. All paper millionaires went from, stock went from $5 to $26, and then company shuts down, a year later. So I decided to reach out and do my own thing. So, I've been pretty blessed to have this type of ride for 25 years.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. You were really young to start your own business there. Was that pretty scary for you at the time or what?
It was. Thankfully, my dad's an entrepreneur, has multiple businesses. I kind of grew up in that environment and saw, his success. And really, I was just recently married when I started my own company. My wife had a really good job, and she said, hey, if this is something you really want to do, now is the time to do it. Cause we've got the stability, we've got her job, her salary. And to her credit, she was right there to support me, the whole way. And I said, give me a couple years and hopefully you can quit your job after a couple years of building the business and help raise the family. And that's really what happened. So yeah, it was super scary. Worked from home, that first year, built up the business, got clients. And I remember the early days, I would just go to, strip malls here in Phoenix and stuff like that and Scottsdale and knock on the doors and be like, hey, if you don't have a website, we'll build it, or whatever you're paying for hosting, we'll match it or beat it.
Really?
And, that was legitimately how I built that business. Just pounding the streets and hustling. So, and actually after that first year, we started growing and, got some pretty nice clients. And, that second year I moved out and got an office, and, that third year my wife was able to quit her job. So
that's pretty cool.
Wow, pretty nice. Yeah,
grew up really quickly. Was it just knocking on doors, or I guess even for somebody starting a business today, would you recommend the same approach, or growing from nothing?
And actually, to be totally honest, I think people need to start getting back to that. As much as I love digital marketing and that's what we're good at and we sell, people have lost that personal connection. And so, yeah, getting back out there, networking, stop into places, that's people are there. You're getting hit from all sides, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, you're getting all this information coming at you. To separate the good from the bad is really tough. So I think a lot of the, where we're going to see business start coming back to, is, shaking hands and kissing babies, as I say, of, getting back out there and talking to everybody. And so I would recommend that, a big part of what we did in the beginning is I would look at any of the local newspapers or periodicals and see who was advertising in them. If they're advertising, they understand marketing, they understand the importance of marketing, and then just reach out, give them a call and see what they're doing, for in our space, it was digital marketing. So yeah, that was, something that really helped grow the company.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's really creative, right? Because they're putting stuff in marketing, but it's not necessarily digital at the time too. If you, so do you have any, I guess, networking tips or tricks or anything? Because I mean, you've built up Fast Turtle for 25 years now. Now you've been referred and you have all these connections. Any tips for, growing your network?
If you're starting out and you don't have a robust network, I would go to as many things as possible that are within your niche. Or, if it's in our spot, it was marketing. So AMA networking events or ASBA, Arizona Small Business Association. We joined all the chambers in the beginning. So I was going to meetings there. And just, getting out and talking to people. I think as you look at depending on what service or product you're selling, that's when you can get really hyper targeted and say, all right, we're going to work with construction people. So I want to target those types of associations and organizations and really go to those events rather than casting a wider net.
Yeah, no,
So
that makes sense.
that's what I would recommend for sure. And also, that I'm an ASU guy, so ASU does a great job, especially with the Alumni Association, getting involved with that, and staying connected there. So I would recommend, those different associations as well. And you never know who you're going to bump into and who can help your business.
Yeah, right. Okay, so you started Fast Turtle and you worked from home to start, but then you went to an office. At what point did you realize you had to expand to more than just you?
Once we started hitting, 20, 30, 40 clients, and I'm doing the selling, and I was lucky, because one of my prior roles with one of the startups, I was overseeing a team of website designer developers. So once that company went away, I had a team that I knew I could use for contract workers.
Oh,
So
wow.
I actually hired all those guys as contract workers, didn't bring them on as employees first, because it was obviously more cost effective to do it that way. And then as the company grew, I was able to provide and give them more jobs and areas for opportunity, and eventually hire a couple of them to come and work for me. So it was just a natural progression. As the sales got there, I saw that what we needed as far as support. And we did leverage, not to go back to ASU, but we did leverage ASU in the beginning as well, with interns, and bringing those interns on to help out with, some of the digital marketing in the beginning. And then growing from there. Yeah, it went from working at home, office condo, building the business there to, eventually we got offices in North Scottsdale and, grew up to a team of about 20 people. And yeah, it was pretty nice. We eventually had offices up at the Scottsdale Quarter, so it was pretty
Oh,
cool up
nice.
there. So yeah.
Okay. Good spot to have him, yeah. Was there a certain point, so like, did you just kind of get overwhelmed to the point where you, because you were doing everything in the beginning, right? You're selling, you're actually doing the work, you're doing everything to a point. Is that, what was it like to like wear all the hats? And then how did you transition to maybe not doing everything and delegating all that?
Good question. So yeah, in the beginning, it was super cool because I was not a programmer by nature. So I ended up, learning programming and HTML and, built those first websites. And I'll admit they weren't the best in the world, but it's 2000, so nothing was really the best in the world. Not like we have it today. But really, Like I said, as the business was growing and we're bringing on new clients, revenue increases, and then just identifying where, my gaps are. My gaps are, my strengths, I would say, are more on the sales and marketing side and vision of the company and looking at that. And then, we worked with, there was the Art Institute here in town. So we brought on a couple, graphic designers that just graduated out of college, and so built that up. And then they were doing the website design, and then the programming as well. And then brought on some search engine marketing people, and then would train them. We were one of the first companies to be certified in search engine optimization here in Arizona.
Oh, wow.
So we were able to tout that, and then really, bring the people on that. We would train the basics on, and then promote that as well. So it really, the delegation came as the growth of the company came, and then what it was that I wanted to step away from, and then have people that were just dedicated on that success, whether it be the website design or the search engine optimization. And the beauty with the internet, and sorry for talking so much, but I
No,
think the
just
beauty of the internet is really where you can have the specific people for those roles, but the technology is always changing. So like Facebook wasn't around in 2000, Instagram's not around in 2000. So as we're building these websites and we're doing search engine optimization, social media starts coming into play. And then so you've got this other channel that we can really expend some effort into that and become masters at that, and then also leverage that to for our clients.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Was there, so you hired a lot of interns, a lot of people right out of college. What did you look for in those people? Because obviously, I'm sure you've seen a lot of them kind of come and go through Fast Turtle.
Yeah.
What stood out to you as far as the best ones that you had?
The best ones that we had really was that entrepreneurial spirit. I would say initiative. It's always, especially it's a, if you've got a young company, it's surrounding yourself with people with initiative. You can't bring on order takers, or people that are like, just tell me what to do and I'll get it done. Like that works for, corporate America probably, because they have very strict guidelines and operational processes. But when you're a small, nimble company, you've got to bring on people that are like-minded and that'll pick up the ball and run with it. I say quite a bit with my team. So those are the types of people that, you're going to look for. And even today, those are the people that I look for now, in joining the company, because one of the things that we always prided ourselves and really pride ourselves on today is autonomy. Like, I'm not gonna, being, I was gonna say, just being your business, I guess is the nice way to say it. When we say, hey, this is the job and this is what we need to do, and these are the real results we're trying to get there, I'm not gonna spoon feed you the whole time of like how to get there. We know where we're getting there. When some of the best managers I always felt, were the people that are like, let you figure it out, let you do the job, give you the guidelines, give you, hey, come talk to me, bounce ideas off of me, but I'm not going to tell you exactly how to do it because everyone's different. But if we're all working to the same goal, that's where we get there. And you get to own, the role and own the position and really, feel like you're making a difference, in the company, which is what I've always felt. So, those are the types of people that I think, the majority of the companies are looking for. So.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. So how would people who are, in college, maybe you've recently graduated, it's really easy to find maybe corporate jobs. Those are also really highly sought after. And a lot of people apply to those. But there's a lot of small businesses out there that maybe aren't as visible. How do you typically find them? Is it mostly networking? Is it, I guess, what's the best way?
Yeah, no, great question, because I've got a couple kids graduating here pretty soon, and so walking through that, I think some of it's going to be networking. Talk to the maybe adults in your life, and see if there's certain positions that they know of that you want to get into. But a lot of it is, I would recommend, if there's an area that you want to get into, I don't care if it's digital marketing or finance or any industry you want to get into. Go to Ranking Arizona and see who the top, 20 companies are in that, or wherever you are, that whatever city you're in. Here we've got the Book of Lists. You can pull that out. You can go online and check that out and reach out to those people. I guess the beauty today compared to 25 years ago when I started, is that everything's online, man. So, you go to LinkedIn, hit people up, drop your resume off at their office. Everyone thinks I'm kidding, but like, no, FaceTime is huge. You've got nothing else to do. Like, if you're looking, not that you don't have anything else, but like when you're looking for a job, you got to go get a job, man. And so that's where you drop your resume off, send it to the hiring manager, send it to the person that has that's the manager of the position you want, even if it's not open. If there's a marketing manager out there and you want to be a junior marketing person, find them on LinkedIn, shoot them an email. There's a lot of information out there that you can get. Those are the things that I would suggest, the networking side, but also make sure that you're on the job boards. And one of the worst things you could possibly do is just blanket start submitting your application. Like, we're hiring for three positions right now at Fast Turtle, and we're getting peppered with resumes and applications, and we have an autoresponder that says, if you're serious about applying here, complete this predictive index and we'll get back to you about scheduling an interview. We get about 10% of the people actually filling out the predictive index. Yeah. So like in some of these people that are applying are coming from college or recent graduates. And it's like, guys, go to the next step. That's the initiative people are looking for. That's like the low level. Like, just,
Yeah,
other
seriously.
than breathing, it's too easy to be on Indeed and ZipRecruiter and hit submit application and then think you're gonna get a job from them. Like that's not really how the world works, man. So I would check out your college recruitment as well. Like, we're on Handshake with ASU and with the majority of the colleges here. So make sure you're checking those things out. But you got to really go to that next level. Like, after you apply, follow up, shoot an email. If they're asking for a cover letter, make sure that you're sending that with you as well.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Kind of going into your role as like a leader, obviously you shifted away from a lot of the responsibilities you didn't necessarily want to do. Are there any like kind of big leadership lessons that you learned or big just lessons in general you learned after hiring your first team and being like, I'm in a different spot now?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, hiring is super important. Vetting people. One of the things I probably learned over and over again is hire slow, fire fast. And everybody says it, and not a lot of people do it. Because when you have an open position, you got to fill the open position and get those jobs done. But we've had some bad hires over the years, and I've hired some really high level people. I hired one of the operations guys, VP level from web.com, to come in that I wanted to be our general manager. That individual didn't work out, and so and
Really?
we figured it out in 6 months that, like, yeah, that you said you had all this experience and were able to do this, and I was really excited that he was going to be able to lead the team, and he just wasn't, and we didn't align, as far as vision and where we wanted to go. Ended up doing that again with another person that was with a bigger agency here in town, that I brought in to have that type of operations role where I can do the visionary and manage the sales and sales team and then grow the company that way, and this person would oversee the operations, and that person had their own agenda, and it really brought in two or three people that they knew from another company and started kind of ruining the culture that I already made. And
Really,
then yeah, so
that
that
sucks.
was a big learn, and then and stressful, as I'm sitting there and I'm like, do I give the person enough time? Can I get them on board? What does this look like as far as maybe training more things like that. And then finally to realize, and honestly, it was during the holidays. I remember just
Oh no.
agonizing over it.
Yeah.
And then come, January 1, it was like, all right, I gotta make a change. It's new year, change it up, and just went in and rebooted.
Yeah, no, that's
So
tough.
yeah, it is tough, but I'll say, hiring is the right is one of the toughest things to do. And I talked to a lot of other business owners about that as well. But it's about hiring the right people and making sure that they're a good culture fit. And so we eventually promoted from within,
Really?
and so that's really been a blessing for us.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome. And I mean, you said you really transitioned to focusing on the growth and the vision of the company. What has been the biggest key to growth? Like after your first phase of, knocking on doors, getting those first clients, now you've your team and now you're growing more.
Yeah,
How are you doing
yeah.
that?
So I would tell everyone the same thing I told clients when they would come to us is focus. Figure out a niche you really want to go after and be the best at that niche. So for digital marketing, it might be we service home service companies the best in the country. Like we are better than any other one out there. Now, did I do that in the beginning? Hell no. A lot of companies, unfortunately, in the beginning, you're just like, I'll take any job I can, and that's how you grow, and that's natural. But I would say the biggest thing that's really helped us in the last, call it 5 years, 6 years, is that we built very specific brands. So we've got,
Really?
Closet Garage Design by Fast Turtle. We've got Roof Contractor Marketing by Fast Turtle. I've got Integrated Medical Marketing by Fast Turtle. And so now when we're doing our marketing, it's super hyper targeted, and it's easier for our team to call on closet and garage design companies and be like, I'm from Closet and Garage Marketing. And so there's an immediate connection
There you
rather
go,
than
right?
being like, hey, I'm Eric from Fast Turtle. And they're like, who? What? How? What? And so that's really made a big difference over the last 5 years of our business and growing it. Now, did we do work with a lot of other companies in the earlier 20 years? Absolutely. We've done work for ASU. We've done work for Disney. We've done work with, major semiconductor companies over in Asia and here. And that's built on relationships and knowing different people. And so we're able to do that. But yeah, for really hyper growth, being a niche driven is really the way to go.
Interesting. No, that's a great tip. And then as far as focus goes, do you really promote like a specific set of values and culture? You said, you built up a culture. Was that hard to do? Or how do you build build up team morale and get a company going?
It all comes from you. You're the owner. You get to do whatever you want. It's your house. It's your how you want to work every day. Every owner can sit there and look at that and go, I could go and get a job tomorrow, and work for another company. But like, if you're going to really start your own company, it's about what do you want to build and what do you stand for is really what it comes down to. So, you really just got to do some thinking about that. Like, who do you want to surround yourself with? And so, like, some of our values are going to be integrity. It's growth is a big part of it. Collaboration. I'm not the smartest guy in the room. I don't ever want to be. If you are, you're in the wrong room, man. So you've got to learn from other people, especially your employees, and bring those people in. So yeah, that was really a big part of it. And you can easily identify when people aren't a good fit. When they come in, if they don't jive with the integrity, a good example, you might have a sales guy that is very collaborative, might do great at sales, but they're either underselling the product, so they're hurting the company itself, or over promising to the customer, which now puts pressure on the support staff and deliverables. Well, that person doesn't have integrity so much, and so if they're not aligned, they're not aligned, and so you need to make that change. I don't care how much money that person might be bringing in. So that's a big part of it. And then building in the hiring to that, going back to the hiring question and statement that we're talking about, have that as part of your hiring process. Tell me examples of, hey, here's a scenario when it might not be, ethical. Tell me how you handled something like that, or were you ever in a position like that,
Yeah,
and have them
tough
expand
questions.
on that. Yeah. And don't, it might not be so nice, but don't let them off the hook.
Yeah.
Some of the great hiring books that I've read is like, hey, tell me more about that. Really dive deeper into those things. You'll learn a lot about people real quick. And
Really,
you'd
for
rather learn
sure.
it now during an interview than 3 months or 6 months later after you start paying them.
Oh yeah, no, I'm totally sure. And you mentioned hiring books. I want to get into a quick lightning round. The first question is, what is your favorite business book or podcast?
Good to great.
Okay.
Yeah,
Yeah.
easiest thing out there. Podcasts and blogs. We implemented what's called the EOS or Entrepreneurial Operating System. It's a game changer. Once you do that for any person that's looking to start a business, you should implement that day one. It holds your team accountable. It holds you accountable. It's one of the things that you see a lot of owners out there, and I even talk to a lot of CEOs. No one's holding them accountable. Like, all right, you're the owner of the company. Who the hell is going to tell you what to do? Typically, well, you need some accountability there, unless you've got a board of directors to hold you accountable. And even at that, some of them don't hold you accountable. So I would recommend EOS. They've got a great blog. Traction is their book, so check that out. I think there's a couple podcasts out there as well.
Yeah, no, that's great. And then
Yeah.
Good to Great is also
Good to Great is
incredible
great.
book.
Another podcast I listen to all the time, Built to Sell. That's a great book too. Really, kind of puts the bumpers in there for you in the beginning to, setting up a company. E-Myth, all the E-Myth books, I would highly recommend for anyone starting up. And they've got actually, I think they're broken up in different industries as well, so that really helps too. I would check those out. Those are good foundational books.
Yeah, a lot of good entrepreneurial stuff there. Next question, what is your biggest pet peeve in business?
Oh shoot. Complacency.
Yeah.
Especially in what we do, it's digital marketing, it's the internet, things are always changing. TikTok's gotten really big over the last couple of years, wasn't there 5 years ago. How do you integrate those things? If you're, just going in and it's a job, 9 to 5, and you're like, I'm doing what they're asking, you're at least for us and how I try to, talk to, the next generation of workers that are out there is you need to be looking at like, how can I, one, improve personally? So you're going to be of higher value. That's where you get paid more, by the way, and what you're bringing to the company. And how can I improve myself even more, the value I bring to my company, to my manager. I don't care if you're corporate America or even, small business, that you do those things on a consistent basis, and you talk about like, hey, I was on this webinar, or I, got this additional certificate online, or I was checking out this Reddit, and there's so much information out there and areas to do that, and talk about it with your boss. Hey, what do you think of this? And brainstorm stuff. I think too many people, especially working remote these days, are sitting in a silo. And they think like nobody cares about them, or I might be able to get away with working on a half day on a Friday, or things like that. Man, everybody checks tech. Like everybody knows what you're doing. And I think the people that will reach out and have more discussions with either their associates and colleagues and with their managers are the ones that are going to be moving up, faster within their careers.
Yeah,
I
no.
would say one other thing, and I don't know, I know you didn't ask me, but I'm going to add it because
No,
I
love to
hear
hear
this
it.
all the time on recruiting and talking to people. Everyone says move every 2 years.
Really?
Yeah,
Really?
everything that I'm seeing online is like, move your job every 2 years. Find
Wow.
another company,
Feels quick,
and
right?
it is quick. And I'll tell you right now, as a business owner, it's one of the worst things you could do. Because when I get those resumes, I know exactly what's happening. You're moving for a salary bump, which, there's a bunch of articles on there. That's the way you get to higher salaries. But I'm telling you, when I look at those resumes, I know exactly the type of person you are. So if you're not looking to have integrity and be part of a team and help grow the business, then I can immediately see that because you move every 2 years or every year and a half and things like that. But The one thing that I see that people aren't talking about is go back to your boss. Go back and say, hey, because sometimes people don't know, or especially in a small business, but if it's a business that has an HR function, then you talk to them and talk about salary increases. If the salary's changed in that city for that position, and it's not just the 3, 5, 7% increase, for inflation, then talk to people. I'd rather keep people than have you leave my company for an extra 5 grand, or even 10 grand or even more, things like that. Then we've already invested in you in training, and we like our employees. You know how long it takes to go through our hiring process?
Yeah, I'm
So
sure.
think about it on the other side. I know there's a lot of people that might be out there, listening to your podcast that are looking for jobs or has a job and looking to transition. Talk to the owners, talk to your manager. Hey, I really need this. And don't be afraid to do that. A lot of people are, they have a fear of that money conversation.
Yeah, no,
And
definitely
I think
intimidating.
it's something that that is important on both sides.
Oh yeah. I mean, they're just people.
Yeah.
What is your best networking tip?
To do it. I know that sounds like almost a cliche, but there's too often you'll be scheduled for an event. It's on your calendar, you're ready to go, and then you're like, what's the value? Or do I really want to do this? Or you'll talk yourself out of it almost 9 or 8 times out of 10, it's sometimes it can be scary, but I'm telling you, if you can go in there with the expectation, if I meet one person, and I can either and always go in the expectation. Here's the other, I guess this will get to that other networking tip too. What can I help you with? Not going in there with the expectation of I need to get something out of this. All right. I need to go to a networking event and get a job or get a client or do whatever. You go there with the expectation of, hey, I want to find three people that I'm going to be able to help. Make an introduction, hook up on LinkedIn, whatever. People know people. You do that, you will get the clients. You will get the
Interesting.
job. You will get the business. Like it's remarkable. Once you change that mind shift of, hey, I need to get something out of every networking event that I go to versus I need to find people I can help, it comes in just in droves, man. It really
Really?
does. Yeah.
That's awesome. No, that's a great tip right there. What's a skill that every leader should have?
Being open, one potentially criticism, but also being open to share, and open to listen. I think it's almost like the Napoleon complex that's out there that I talked to the entrepreneurship group about. People think because you're the CEO, maybe you should have all the answers. And I think when people are leaders and are the CEO of a company, they too sometimes feel that they need to have all the answers. You don't. Okay. There's no one on this earth other than God out there that has all the answers. So don't be so ignorant to think that your employees, can't come to you and share and learn and collaborate. One of the biggest things that we in a leadership group that I'm in, we talk about is the people that are doing the job know more about the job than you do as the CEO. So if they have ways to increase process efficiency, lower costs, or whatever, it's going to come from them. It's not going to come from you as the owner of the company overseeing them and then enforcing your will of you need to change this. Okay, so that I think as leaders, you need to be open to hear, different perspectives from your employees.
Yeah,
Yeah.
no, it's all really great advice right there. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I'll end up with one final question. Overall, throughout your career, what has been the biggest key to your success as a leader?
The people I surround myself with. I tell everybody that my kids, you are the average of the five people you hang out with. Okay. It's God's honest truth, man. And like literally, you hang out with people that aren't motivated, that are status quo, that complain about their jobs, that, complain about their salary, all that stuff. You will be that person. Okay. You hang out with people that are aspiring to do more in life and grow. Even if they're good family people and that I don't care what they are in life, you hang out with the people that like that are trying to be the best dad and the best father and the best husband and or the best wife and invest and and build a business. You hang out with people that are doing that, you're gonna do that.
Yeah,
Yeah.
no, totally great advice there. Thank you so much, Eric, for joining me today. This was great.
Yeah, I love it. Totally
Thank
appreciate it. Thank you very much, Oliver.
you. That was Eric Olson, founder and CEO of Fast Turtle and Referred. When Eric started his digital marketing agency, he did it through, surprise, surprise, networking. This case was a little different, though. He actually went door to door to different businesses, asking if they needed a website. The key here was Eric approached his networking opportunities with a simple mindset. How could I help you instead of the other way around? As the business grew, he continued to network and sell through this mindset. Now that his business was growing, Eric had to focus more on leading the company versus doing day-to-day tasks. He learned that the culture starts at the top. He owns the business, which means he sets the tone. For Eric, the key method of keeping this culture was through the hiring process. After learning the hard way through a few failed hires, Eric understood it's much easier to test and get to know a candidate's ability during the hiring process versus after they're on board. And on the flip side, when hiring, Eric looks for one trait in particular: initiative. I know it's cliche, but I promise it's much more rare than you think, just like Eric said. Most people do what's expected of them and nothing more. Whether it's learning a new skill, staying ahead of industry trends, or coming up with solutions instead of just identifying problems, employees who go the extra mile bring immense value. Above all else, however, the key to Eric's success has been the people he surrounds himself with. He said it well: you are the average of the five people you hang out with. Surround yourself with successful people, people who have traits you value. This is how you succeed in business and in life. Thanks for listening. I encourage you to take a little more initiative this week. Maybe complete a small extra task at work or school, or reach out to someone you've been meaning to contact. I'll see you next Monday. In the meantime, keep building something great. Thanks for tuning in.